How's your garden doing, Earl?
Not good. Nothing's coming up.
What seeds did you plant?
Seeds? Was I supposed to plant seeds?
Things don't just happen. It gets done on purpose.
Growing in Christ takes discipline and habit.
Get off your butt and do it.
Go to the Speaking Deacons Essentials list only at thespeakingdeacon.com.
Speakingdeacon.com.
He's the Speaking Deacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Okay, so the big question is, how many of you have ever said something you regret?
Never.
Never, right. I'm an expert at saying stupid things and then regretting it lately or later. The nice thing about recording these messages is I get to go through and edit them. So anything that truly embarrasses myself or, you know, just the stupidness of something I might say, I can chop it right out. No one even knows. Of course, you all have to hear it, so I apologize in advance. But boy, our words can be dangerous. And so that's what we're going to talk about, is from James chapter 3. But before I start talking about it, let's pray. All right, Father, get me out of the way. Get my sinful tongue out of the way, that you would be glorified, your word would be glorified, and we would obey it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, James chapter 3. We are hammering through the book of James because James is writing to Christians, giving them exhortations, which means commands. These aren't thoughts and feelings of maybe you should consider this, have you tried that? That is not the what is written in the Bible. The Bibles are commands. Theology, action. Theology, action. God says it, you do it. That's the way the Bible's written. That's why people hate the Bible. That's why people don't want to read their Bibles, because God's so intrusive. Can't God just say, have nice warm fuzzies, have a good day? I was having a discussion with a friend during Christmas time, and he says, isn't the goal of Christmas that everyone should just have warm fuzzies for each other? And I said, dude, you're redefining it. Warm fuzzies has never been the goal of the holidays. It's Christ. It's always been a theology, and the fruit of that is warm fuzzies. That even the meanest people in the world will come up to each other at Christmas time and say, hey, happy Merry Christmas, or whatever. I hope you have a nice vacation, or something like that. But it is never the root. The root is always God. The reason is always, always God. You are here today because God allowed you to be here today. Everything is designed by God, for God, for God's glory. We are made for God, and everything we do is for God. So thus, when God gives us a book and preserves it through all of time and history, the words in those books are for us to obey for the glory of God. We exist for the glory of God. Just in case there's not any confusion, we exist for the glory of God, to proclaim Jesus. So, here's this crazy guy, James. He loves Jesus, and he's talking to other Christians, people who love Jesus. And these aren't just any Christians, these are Jewish Christians of the very first church, who other Jews didn't like him because they kept saying, Jesus is the Jewish king. Jesus is the one talked about in the Old Testament. It's Jesus. So the Jews said, stop talking about Jesus or we'll kill you. There's a determinant. So the Jews get scattered. Bang! James, who's a Jew, starts writing to the Jewish Christians, encouraging them in Christ. I always want to give you that setting. So now, if you look at these books in the scriptures, this book of James, all of them have this incredible landscape, this flow of thought, where you can literally outline it point by point, and each thought goes to the next thought. So thus, here's this, thus, do this, therefore, do this, because of that, do this. It's very logical in its thought because God doesn't want you to kill your brain to understand him. He wants you to engage your brain because it takes brains to dig into the Word of God, because God is fully encompassing. He wants all of us. So, there's the premise of what's going on. In James chapter 3, you can outline it, two major points. True worship is about controlling your tongue and talks about God's wisdom. Your tongue and God's wisdom, they are very much connected. Very much connected. And that's what we're going to talk about. So first, I want to go to James chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James chapter 3. All the way through it. Says this, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Okay, yes, there's a danger if with young Christians, if you try to go out and teach a class or get in a public debate or something like that, you know, most likely you will insert your foot into your mouth. There's a danger for this, but this is not an excuse. I don't want to point this out as an excuse for us to say, well, see, you're the preacher, and we're just the people. We'll go invite people here, and you tell them about Jesus, but I don't want to tell them about Jesus. Not me. Get him to church. Let the preacher do that. That's not what this is talking about at all. Basically, James is setting a premise of how not to be stupid with your tongue. That's what he's building this foundation, and he's starting here. So don't be confused by this or use it as your excuse to not be a disciple, because if you remember, the reason we exist is to love God and people and make disciples who love God and people. That's why we exist. That's why I don't let you call me Pastor Jeff. One, I'm not ordained. Two, I'm not a pastor. I'm the speaking deacon. Here's my cartoon picture, right? Meaning I'm a deacon who happens to do the speaking because it's the job of the minister or the ministry to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If a minister ain't doing that, a minister is not serving the Lord. So all that matters is that we as a whole are doing those five disciplines. I will never, ever let up on this until we can all stand up here and say, here's what I do for worship. Here's what I do for ministry. If we all can't get up here and say that, we haven't accomplished the goal yet of obeying and following Jesus Christ. We're still losing. I don't want to lose. I know you don't want to lose. So here we go. Do not be confused here. Becoming a disciple and getting a disciple. Wait a minute, what's he talking about here? Becoming a disciple, you're growing up in Jesus, you knowing the five disciplines and doing them. One of those, which happens to be, go get yourself one. What? Go get yourself a disciple. Go get yourself that friend or neighbor and say, listen, you know, without Jesus, who claims to be God, you're not going to heaven. You got that? Are you able to have that conversation? I'm praying so hard at work. I'm trying to get the courage to really bring more of Christ into our lunch times. Because that's my fear, man. I've been with these people for years. I understand the fear. But, you got to bust into it. You got to bring people to Jesus. Because all that matters at the end, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. Either he's lying or he's telling the truth. Everyone's got to decide what they will do with Jesus. So are you a disciple? Write that down on your note thing. Are you a disciple of Jesus? And are you getting a disciple? This week, who can go get their disciple? Who can go get their disciple and start teaching them the Bible? Who can do it in this room? Uh-oh. Oh, the reality of following Christ is so intrusive and inconvenient. Stop bugging us, Jeff. No, that's the real deal, isn't it? Pawpaw Bible Church, go make disciples. That's it. That's what we're called to do. There, now that we've overcome James 3:1, now we'll move on to some deep stuff. James 3:2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Now, who's perfect? Who's perfect in the world? Aside from Christ. Nobody, right? Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Then James is building an argument. See, these Bible writers were some serious smarty pants. They know where they're building. So he's building this argument, saying, if anyone can keep, you know, we all stumble in many ways. First of all, he just claims nobody's perfect. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. He's building this straw man. He's building this argument that, one, nobody's perfect, and if they were, they'd be able to keep their whole body in check. Because look at verses 3 and 4. He goes on to now begin to build this argument. He's going to knock down this straw man. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise. See this? He's building his argument. He just gave us these examples of a ship and a small rudder, a bit in a horse's mouth. Likewise, the tongue. He's now comparing. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, and it makes great boasts. Whoa, what's that? Anyone recognize that? Blue's Clues. There's a clue there. That's in your Bible. The Blue's Clues Bible. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. I want you to remember that there's a clue here in, but it makes great boasts. The tongue makes great boasts. The key word here is boast. That's where I want you to put your little clue and make note of that. That's what I want you to do. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, 34 through 37, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of your heart the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus, of course, he's just beating up the religious leaders of that time. That's who he's calling the brood of vipers. And he is getting on their case. On their case. And with that, he's saying, this is where the good comes from. This boasting. He's pointing out, where does this boasting come from? If you remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking about I was picking on swearing on Facebook, and when we normally, if we fall and we hurt ourselves or something, and we might, or something makes us mad, from our mouths we might accidentally go, right? And just instinctively, like, you, and we swear, and it's easy to do, you know, that spills out of us. We great boasts. It's because our heart is filled with stuff, and, you know, I try to fill my head with God stuff every day, but I'll tell you what, if I drop my toast on the floor or get this, no kidding, this happened yesterday. I put the old coffee grounds in the garbage can. Not a problem. You know, the filter old coffee grounds. Then I went and took some other piece of garbage, threw it in the garbage can. Somehow there was a seesaw effect in the garbage can. Hits one side, the coffee grounds explode out of the garbage can. Maybe something slipped out. I can't quite remember. All right, but it takes those weird, the curse. That's the curse right there, man. Coffee grounds. That's some messy stuff to pick up. You know, what are the chances of that happening? That's very frustrating. And but the point is, that gets me profane. I confess, you know, we're supposed to confess our sins one to another. I didn't use the Lord's name in vain, but there's some other explicitives I shouldn't be using. But it's those things that even though I cram God in my head as much as I possibly can, The first thing that come out of my mouth in struggles is, yeah! Then I have to catch myself, rethink it, and get back and get my head back in the game, you know? Thankfully, no one's around when I'm doing this. I do pay attention, or at least I think they're not listening. But the idea is where it comes from. And boast is connected to pride and bragging, and pride is the evilest of sins. Pride is the sin of the devil. Pride was the sin that tempted Eve to be like God, and pride is what has us saying, I don't need Jesus! I don't need the fact that you killed your son on a cross in my place. I don't need that. I'm good enough for you, God. That's incredible pride, and that pride will burn in hell forever. God will have no part of that. That's where it comes from, this boasting. Our tongues boast, and it's very dangerous, very dangerous. So the idea is watch your tongue. And remember that? That was a great scene. That was a great scene. I don't recommend doing that. James 3:6. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is self set on fire by hell. Any idea what God thinks of our tongues? Any clues? Anybody? Anybody? All right, you don't have to answer that. All right. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Boy, what did I say to that? I think that James nailed that one pretty good. Don't we say the stupidest things? I know. And there's huge wisdom. There's a bunch of proverbs on holding our tongues. And certainly, as a teenager, I could not say the right thing if you wrote it down for me. And I can totally understand that. And the times I would just, God, why did I say that? What was I thinking? Oh, anyway, it's fun picking on myself. But once again, the tongue demonstrates what's in the soul and the things we do, the things we say. The tongue is dangerously bad. And then it goes on, and I don't have a slide for this, in James 3:9 through 12, it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I want to go back to verse 9. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with the tongue we curse men who have been made in God's image. See, here's the problem. We don't know how wicked we really are. Even if we don't praise God, even if we don't, our brain never rubs two cells together thinking about God and His Word, the moment we're driving down the road and someone cuts us off and we just let them have it with sign language and words of a negative sort, that's horrendous sin, because that person who cut you off is made in God's likeness. Do you understand? Have you ever done something? You made a cake, or you made a picture, you made something, and someone didn't know you had done it, and they're like, that's stupid. What idiot made that? What a goofball. Man, I hope I don't know them. Right? And it kind of hurts you. God made us in His image. When we are doing that to another person, like, you know, I would like to say things about certain, you know, people in high places of leadership in our country, I got lots of things I'd like to say to them that aren't good. Aren't good at all. But that's bad to be. It's one thing to say, hey, you know, you're off course from biblical truth. That's not cursing. But to say, that evil freaking Bam, and then start saying bad things. That's cursing someone made in the image of God. And that is blaspheming God. Boy, doesn't that stink? Isn't there people you just want to tell them the way it is? Tell them the way they are, and then kick them. Right? Don't we want to do that?
Kick them.
Kick them under them. But that's sin. That's horrible sin. And when we do that, we are attacking people made in God's image and likeness. And God's not impressed. Out of the same mouth should not be praise. And Christians, that makes it amplified for us, right? If we're a non-Christian, we're not going to church, we don't care about God, and we curse someone, that's a half sin. That's a sin unto itself. But if you're a Christian and you come to church and say, yes, I love Jesus, you no good stinking... That's wrong. That's twice as wrong. Twice as bad. Twice as evil. Twice as stupid. Oh, Christians. If we ain't in the grace of Christ, we're dead meat. Thank you, Jesus, because that's the name of the game. Blunder forward in Christ. Blunder forward in Christ. And the idea here is paying attention to what we say. A Christian has a gumption to watch their mouth. An unbeliever who hates God doesn't give a rip about what God or wants to watch your mouth. But a Christian, you may do it, but you can repent. Oh, that blankety blank blank. I'm sorry, God. Oh, I'm so sorry. I really want to curse them. Please, God. All right, that struggle, Galatians chapter 5, the Christian struggles with their sinful nature. A lost person doesn't. There's a huge difference. A Christian wants to please God and wishes they could take those words back and throw them into hell themselves and wishes blessings could find there, or a gumption to love would come out of our heart. Christians want that, desire that, to please God. Not because they're afraid to go into hell, but because they are going to heaven and want to please the one that saved them. What's your gumption to watch your mouth? What's your gumption? So let's go a little deeper here. The neat thing is James talks about our tongue, and then he talks about this other interesting topic, wisdom. Wisdom. James chapter 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Notice how he mentioned earlier the tongue boasts. That's out of pride, the opposite of humility. Humility. That comes from wisdom. Wisdom is the correct application of truth. Truth comes from the Bible. You cannot be wise or even pretend to be wise if you don't know what the Bible says. You can't. That's like saying you're a sprinter without legs. You can't do it. You need to know what the Bible says so you can correctly apply it to your life. Let's do a little comparison here. The world's stinky poo wisdom versus God's wisdom. God's wisdom versus worldly wisdom. Let's take a look at the world's quote-unquote wisdom. And actually, I just thought of a great example. There was a nice little quote you put on yesterday, I think it was, about atheists on Facebook. And it's the atheist quote was like, it was well said, and it said to the extent that, okay, to be an atheist, you have to believe that first there was nothing, nothing came from nothing, nothing decided something would come from nothing, which organized into something, became a dinosaur. It was the absolute epitome of irrationalism and stupidity, and that's atheism. It's the world's wisdom. See, an atheist could look at that quote and go, yeah! And you're like, what? Hello? There's nothing going on inside that person's head. And in James 13, verses 14 and 15 and 16, actually, if you follow Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham is always posting about articles and letters of people who attack him. And their attack is never intellectual. It is always filled with curse words and horrible words and the hatred of people who the hatred of these people towards anyone who smells like Jesus is so ridiculous. I mean, if they were trying to be intellectual about it, that'd be one thing. But their hatred of truth, their hatred of things that smell like Jesus, kind of shows the hand, okay, this is worldly wisdom, this is evil. And it says here in verses 14 through 16, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Boy, isn't that interesting? Come to the truth of it. Where's your heart? Don't deny it. Where's your heart? And don't boast about it if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition. And boy, isn't that the heart of it? Matter of fact, James chapter 4, this is, James unpacks that even more. And in verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. See, these are the three enemies of God, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the three enemies that you fight every day. The world and its crazy, stupid thinking. The flesh, your own flesh, that wants to sin, that loves sin. Oh, flesh, we love to sin. Feed our flesh. And the devil's sitting there going, yeah, baby, don't hold back now. Those three things are there telling you, and the enemy of God. These are the enemies of God. And it's the, and that's what really whips up this evil wisdom, this anti-wisdom, is this stuff. And of course, when you have these three enemies, the God, the world, the flesh, and the devil, earthly, unspiritual, and demonic, and it feeds your bitter envy and your selfish ambitions. What things have you bitter? As Christians, what things have you bitter? And normally what brings about bitter is something or someone closer to you, closest to you. What's got you bitter? Because bitterness that no matter what happens, no matter what you pray, you talk about that one person, you talk about that one thing, and it's so deeply rooted, and it just sours everything. That bitter envy is demonic influence. Ephesians 6:12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities and evil forces in the heavenly realms. That's demonic. As Christians, are we harboring demonic embitterment in our hearts? That doesn't mean we're possessed by the devil, but it does mean there's a demonic influence helping to grab our hearts and making sure we're not following Christ. And it says in James 3:16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Every evil practice. Guess what? There is such thing as good. There is such thing as bad. The Bible clearly teaches it. And where you find disorder and every evil practice, those are the things that go against God. Stealing. The Ten Commandments. Are they broken? I just think of our government. Is our government breaking any of the Ten Commandments? Stealing people's dignity, stealing people's money, all those happy things in the name of some sort of anti-help, because it's not real help. Real help is giving people dignity and freedom and responsibility. In this case, you have disorder and every kind of evil practice. Evil. This stuff exists. There's your battle, ladies and gentlemen. That's your battle. The wisdom of God. Oh, thought I flipped that. Here we go, to the wisdom of God. James 3:17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. This is pure good stuff. The scripture, the Bible, what it teaches is pure. It comes straight from God. There is nothing bad that comes from God. God doesn't change. God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't shift back and forth. Everything that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then it's peace-loving and considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Let's take a look at this a little more deeply here. I want to make sure you don't unpack these words in the American sense of our culture, meaning peace-loving as in peace out and check out. That is not the same peace-loving. That does not mean placating. Oh, just don't fight. Just don't fight, please. That's not a Christian stance. A Christian stands on righteousness, and it may just take all the peace away. Because people hate God and would rather be embittered and envious and selfish. And when you drop scriptural truth before them, they hate it. And they will fight it. And it's, but the path to peace, real peace, is when people conform to the image of likeness of Jesus and the Word of God. Consider it. Submissive does not mean being a wimp. It does not mean going, yes, dear, yes. It does not mean that. It means think wisely before you boink someone in the head. That's what it means. It means there's plenty of other ways to get things done. Think twice. It does not mean cowardice. So as Christians, when it says submissive, it does not mean to just bow down to everybody and everything that wags a finger at you. It means you need to be courageous for biblical submissiveness, because it seems like you're losing power when you're actually gaining it, because you're now standing in the foundation of Christ, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers, not placators, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. Now that may mean when you go talk to that person lost in sin and they're highly offended when you introduce them to Jesus Christ and tell them they don't have to go to hell and that without Jesus Christ they are going to hell. It is not my opinion. It is not your opinion. It is what the Bible clearly teaches. Without Jesus Christ they're going to hell, and that sucks. Don't go to hell. Go to heaven. Know what the Bible says. Grow up in Jesus, what you were designed for. And then when these things happen, you are now sowing peace, the peace between God and man. Do you understand? We're called to reconcile people to Jesus. That's our job. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. That doesn't just mean, no more fighting, everyone be happy. Ugh, that just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Ugh. That's not what it means to be a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker means introducing people to Jesus so that peace can be made between God and man. And that may mean a lot of fighting, or so-called fighting. That may mean people who had somewhat peace, and then they're introduced to Jesus, and now they lose all their peace. So be it. In the end, it raises a harvest of righteousness, and that's the goal. That's the goal, a harvest of righteousness. We're almost done here. Really, believe it. It's true. Okay, I got a couple other Bible verses for you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. This should sound familiar. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Now, do your test. Test yourself. Over the last week, what did you say or do? Think about it. There's a test. Now you know what's in your heart. When push comes to shove, you know what's in your heart. Psalms 51:6 says this, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Let's get a little application here as we wrap it up. Bibles! 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 Bibles everywhere! There are Bibles everywhere in the internet world and happy online. I always lately have been putting on your bulletins. Right at the top, Christian book distributors. If you don't have internet, there's a 1-800 number. Call and have them mail you a catalog. There, now no one's without excuse. If you don't have a phone, I'll call and get you one. Not a phone, the catalog. Then you can order them by mail. So now that we're all without excuse, Audio Bibles, online Bibles. They still make these, you know, paper Bibles. Study books, study guides. There's so many Bibles. Hey, look, the Blue's Clue. See, now we're making a connection. Back to that innermost part. You gotta get it in your head. You gotta get it in your heart. Because that's where godly biblical wisdom comes from. That's where it spills out. And if our heart ran a test this week and a little more bad spilled out than good, then maybe we need a little more good. What are you going to do to get it done? What are you going to do to get it done? To get those books, spend some money on that. Before you go to FYE or Walmart and buy that next $5 video or that new TV or whatever it is, go buy this. You don't need my permission to chase Jesus. Go buy this stuff. Spend some money. I'm going to buy a rocking Bible. $80 for a Bible. Bibles are expensive. But I'm going to buy one that's easy to read and just crack right into it. And then if I got the internet, I'm going to listen to the Bible. I'm going to listen to the Bible. Wow! Make it happen. I'm being a little sarcastic, but the reality is you got to make it happen. You got to make it. This isn't enough for you. Sunday mornings is not enough for you. I hope you've realized that after 3 years. Jeff is not going to save Papa. Jesus Christ working through you is going to save Papa. And that's the only way it's going to get done. The only Christ people are going to see is when you are there and you are there and you are there. That's it. I can't go around and be everywhere. I wish I could. I love people. I really do. I'm kind of shy, believe it or not, but I love getting into people's lives. I like doing it. I can't. You can. You all have a schedule. You all have a life. You're all out doing your thing. Take Jesus with you and be ready. I know it's hard. I know it's scary. It's weird because we're out of practice. We're not even in practice, are we? Oh, it's challenging. I know it is. Okay, I'm wrapping it up here. Oh yeah, I read these verses to you, didn't I? So, Hebrews chapter 4, 12. For the word of God. The word of God. Not the word of Jeff. Not your word. The word of God. Which probably means the Bible. Yes, it does mean the Bible. For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Oh, and it does. Spurgeon had this awesome quote that the Resurgence reposted, and it said something like, "Defend the Bible? That would be like defending a lion. I would rather just open the cage and let the lion out." We have got to learn enough Bible that when people say, "Well, I believe," like their opinion matters, then you can just say, "Well, here's what God says." And spear them through the heart with your double-edged sword. And then twist it a bit to help them think and remember that what God says is the only thing that counts. And you know what? Our opinions don't matter. Our opinions are going to be scooped up because God's going to say, "Hey, you believe this? You think..." There it goes into hell. Now, obey Christ. That's what God's going to say. So there's your call to action. What is your plan to increase your Bible study times and practices? For you, for your family, and for your disciples. My disciples? What? Your disciples! Better get one. For you, your family, and your disciples, God has called us all to have a plan to teach the Bible to ourselves, to our family, and to our disciples. Really? Really. So we're going to pray, and we're going to respond with some worship time. Let's do that. Father, there's so much amazing awesomeness and exciting stuff. If we would love you and follow you, Jesus did say, take up a cross and follow him. Father, give us, Papa Bible Church, the courage and discernment to know when you've given us opportunities. Give us the gumption to be obedient to you, that we would be very effective in our short days on this earth to glorify Christ, which is why we're made. So now I ask, Father, in this time of worship and singing, that we would love you. Father, if we can't be courageous and brave here, it'll be that much more difficult out there. So help us at this time to worship you in song and in prayer and commit our souls and our lives to the glorification of God the Father as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's some food for thought. Please visit thespeakingdeacon.com and get connected to the growing number of social media Christians. Thespeakingdeacon.com. Truth is here.